Your pew Bible this morning. There's going to be a selection of verses I want you to turn to. So get a finger in Genesis 1 verse 27, Matthew 11 30, and Luke 9 verse 23. And I'm going to add another one to it this morning, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. So if you want to start looking up a few of those this morning, this is a new series. It's going to be probably about, I'm guessing it's going to be probably 7 weeks, maybe 8, depending on how things flow out and lay out and stuff like that. This series comes from a pastor. His name is Peter Scazzaro. He is a pastor in a church in New York City. And I went through his Healthy Church and studied this this past summer when I was on my sabbatical. And how many of you remember my sermon that was entitled Rhythm? Some of you remember that sermon? Okay. So that sermon came from this series that Peter put out, and this was beneficial to me in many ways. God spoke to me and kind of set things back straight for me in ministry and in life, and I wanted to share this with you, with the church family, because I think that it will also help you greatly. And so we'll see how this unfolds from week to week. The thing that I want you to gain from this new series is in the little yellow box, it says this to you this morning. It's seeking a deeper and wider relationship with Jesus in your life. And I'm going to challenge you, and remember, this is not spiritual milk, okay? So it's going to be meat and potatoes. There's going to be some stuff you're going to go out of here, and you're going to think, oh, that was heavy this morning. That's hard. And you're going to go home with some of that. And so I'm going to probably step on some toes, but that's okay. Because I think that's good for us once in a while. You might see yourself in this sermon or this message. You think, oh, that's me. I get it. I see it. But what must I do about it? And so you're going to get some tools over this series, and you're going to look at your own life and your relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk to you about through this entire series. All right? So emotionally healthy spirituality. You're going to understand what that means by the end of the series and how that affects your life and my life. And I realize, I'm going to just lay this out here, that even though I'm not quite 50 yet, so just so you know that, I had to add that in there. I'm still immature. There are so many things that I need to learn yet about my spirituality and my relationship with Jesus Christ. Even though I'm a pastor and I've been through seminary, I realized that I went through this, that I am still short, very short. And that's not to lessen your faith journey neither, because we're all in different places. But I still have a lot of work to do in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was made aware of that this past summer through my sabbatical. And so you're going to learn that in your life this morning. And so we're going to start. There's not a specific set of verses. So you're going to see that we're going to go throughout the whole Bible. I'm going to pull verses from here and from there. And we're going to study them on a deeper level of what does that actually mean? How does that affect me in my life right here today? That's what we're going to study in this next series. So I am ready to dig in. Let's go to the word of the Lord, Genesis 1, verse 27. And so if you don't understand where I'm going with these verses, just hold on, you will, through the message this morning. So here's our first verse. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now that could be a whole entire series of sermons by itself, couldn't it? The world we live in today, male and female. But listen to what I want you to get out of this is the image of God. You are created in that image. All right? Let's go to Matthew 11, verse 30. This is Jesus speaking to the people, his followers. He says this to them. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right? So we're going to unpack that verse this morning as well. And then we're going to flip to Luke 9, verse 23. Give you just a minute to get there, page 1611 roughly. Then he said to them, all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Notice the key word daily. Hang on to that word this morning. And now go to 2 Corinthians I don't have this one on the screen, but 5 verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Page 1797 in my Bible, might be a page or two off in yours. Everybody with me? All right, here's another key verse we're going to study this morning. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All right? So keep those verses in your mind today. If you have an outline in your bulletin, it is in there. And so we're going to look at those verses for our lives. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we read your word this morning, may you bring that word to life. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to be upon me as I bring your message to your people today. Lord, may they be strengthened by it. May they be stretched in their faith. Lord, may they grow. So I pray that you open their hearts, their minds, and their soul to receive your teaching today. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, may these be your words and never mine. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. How many of you have experienced the fog the last few weeks? Yeah, we've had quite a bit of it, haven't we, lately? Did you know that if you take about 7 square city blocks, so think about Inwood here, 7 square city blocks and really dense, heavy fog where you can hardly see, kind of like this picture here that's on the screen this morning. There's actually a picture of a roadway, if you can see the bottom of it a little bit. But 7 square city blocks, about 100 feet deep, in thick fog, is about 1 glass of water. So what it equals to? All those tiny little particles in the air is about 1 glass of water. But it can almost blot out everything from your sight. When there's a dense fog that we run into or that's fallen over your home or wherever it may be. But here's the point I want to make with you this morning. Many Christians today choose to live their lives in that kind of a fog. You and I. And you might be thinking, well, what do you mean, Rob? What do you mean that we live in a kind of a fog? And here's what I want to explain to you this morning of what that fog might look like. They allow a cupful or a glassful of troubles to cloud their vision and dampen their spirits. Now, here's some things that might dampen your spirit in your life. Anxiety, turmoil, defeat, loss. They strangle out our thoughts and our minds, don't they? Sometimes we become overcome by them, and we don't fully grasp what God's doing in the midst of our lives. Those things fog our lives. We focus on them. We concentrate on them. They weigh heavy on our minds from day to day, the different things that we face and go through. Now, there can be many. That's just a short list. But we allow our lives to be choked by the cares and needs of this world. Often that's how Christians live. But we don't have to live that way. So I want to share that with you this morning. So let me ask you another question. Tell me about your hopes and dreams. How often do you think about those things? Your hopes and dreams. In most people, when you would be asked that question, you'd have to sit and think for a moment because you don't even know how to answer that. But if I was to ask you, tell me about your struggles, tell me about the turmoils in your life, you'd have no problem bringing those out because they weigh heavy on your mind. You see, and there's something different that you're going to learn this morning that Jesus wants you to know about that, about how we should live our lives. So when asked that question, tell me about your hopes and dreams, most people are left speechless. Now, you might respond with a pat biblical answer. Well, isn't my hopes and dreams to live for Jesus Christ? And that answer is partially true. But there's more to it than that. And that's what you're going to discover today. What else is encompassed in that question when you think about your hopes, your wishes, and your dreams in this life as you follow Jesus Christ, as you live life from day to day? So don't let the fog get you down. Notice on the bottom of the screen, this is what I want you to live for. I want you to learn to live in the sunshine of Jesus Christ. The glory, the hope, all those things that come together for you and I. And so let's kind of dig a little deeper into this morning. I have another question for you. Now remember I said, this is meat and potatoes. This isn't just the milk of our faith. Have you ever pretended to be kind or gracious or patient in your life? Now don't raise your hand this morning, because I can almost answer that question for you. Have you ever pretended to be kind or gracious or patient in your life? And most of you, if not all of you, say, yes, I've been there. I have lived that way in my life. How many of you think in order to be a good Christian, you need to have a polished image? You need to have it all together. On the outside, it's got to look good. And if I was to ask you that question here in Northwest Iowa, I know what your response would be. Yep. You've got to drive the best car to church. You've got to put on your best clothes. It's got to be all put together in my life. So let me ask you another question. So what do you think Matthew 11 verse 30 says when Jesus says to his people, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light"? How's that supposed to fit when you and I pretend to be gracious, to be kind, to be patient? When we think we got to live a polished life that's perfect and no flaws that anybody can see? And then Jesus says this to us. What do you mean by that, Lord? So let me tell you about the yoke. I got a team of oxen here on the screen this morning, and so they got a yoke that's over them. When Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy, my burden is light," did you know that when the yoke is designed, it's designed for a certain team of oxen or horses or whatever it might be to fit their neck specifically according to their width and their height and so on? So when that yoke is placed on them, there's no burden for that animal. That's what Jesus is referring to. They can hardly feel that it's there. So when he says to you and I, he says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," what does that mean to us in our faith journey and how you and I live? How many of you feel that way as followers of Christ this morning? Oh yeah, this following Jesus thing, it's easy. It's light. Right? It's not what I was feeling. It's probably not what you're feeling this morning. But hold on to that thought. May you wrestle with that verse. In fact, at the end of this message, it's going to be your assignment. You're going to go home and you're going to wrestle with these verses today of how I live life. What that looks like from day to day. How do we live in the freedom of Christ that Matthew 11 verse 30 talks about day to day? How do we stop pretending? And how do we mature emotionally and spiritually in our faith that we don't have to pretend anymore? We can just be free like Christ taught us to be. That's what it's about. Your family is probably a lot like my family. And it's probably a lot like our first parents in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. All right? I'm going to talk about your life and your family now. And so when this is the part of the message, you're going to start holding up the mirror and you're going to start looking at yourself and maybe the way you parent or maybe the way that you're a sibling in that family system, whatever it might be. But the first family was full of shame, it's full of secrets, there's lies, there's betrayals, there's unresolved issues, and etc. Now, I don't know about you, but you know what? My family has those same things in it. lies, betrayals, unresolved issues, all kinds of things go on in our families. And in fact, the church, our Christian homes, are no different than Adam and Eve's relationship in their family. It's got all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. So what did God mean in Genesis 1 verse 27 when he said God created mankind in his own image? If we're supposed to work on being more and more like Christ, that big church work, sanctification, comes out, how is that supposed to be? Because we are far from it when we act like that. Long ways from it in our lives. And here's the problem. It's because we have not allowed a large portion of our lives to be touched by Jesus Christ. And you're going to know more about what that means in just a minute. But I want you to think about that in your life. The reason that we're immature, the reason that we have problems in our families, and don't get me wrong, we're never going to be perfect because we're sinful. But the problem is that we have large portions of our life that we've never allowed to be touched by Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you some of those in just a moment here. That's the problem. And until Jesus touches those old parts of your life, remember I read that verse about the old has gone, the new has come? Until Jesus touches those old parts of life that you struggle with, that are deep in your closet, that you don't want to talk about, or you know that they're in your family and you need forgiveness to move on, those types of things, until Jesus doesn't touch those things, you are not going to mature. You're going to be stuck right where you're at. So we have work to do. I think I read a verse to you about picking up your cross daily, didn't I? Daily we pick up our cross and we choose Jesus Christ. Daily. And that's not so easy. But you'll never experience the new if you don't allow Jesus to touch the old in your life. It can go all the way back to your childhood. And those things. So how many of you have the desire to live in the new that Jesus talks about? I hope all of you do. Because that's what you're going to learn in this series over the next 7 to 8 weeks. To live in the new. To look at life differently. Because most of us were trapped in a spiritual rut. And let me explain the rut to you, what that might look like. Because this is where Satan loves to keep us. He doesn't want us to mature. He doesn't want us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and so on. And we work hard at trying to get there, don't we? We pray, we do devotions, we study scripture, we come to church, we share our faith with others, la-da-da-da, all that happens. Those are good things. But sometimes there can still be a spiritual rut. So how long have you been a Christian in your life? Let me ask you that question this morning. Has it been 10 years, 18, 25, 47, 80? How long have you been a believer in Jesus Christ? Because here's how it works for probably most of us. And you can disagree with me, that's totally fine. But here's the thing. This is usually how it works out in most people's lives. Most of us are one-year-old Christians doing the same thing over and over and over. We level off. We don't mature. We don't keep growing. I'm not going to say in our faith, because we can grow in our faith and not mature in our faith. You might have the knowledge, but you do a lot of pretending in your life. You try to be polished in your life. Most of us are one-year-old Christians doing the same thing over and over and over. That's how you know you're in a rut. I was in that rut this past summer. Now I'm trying to get out of the rut. life needs to look different in how I do things and the things that are part of my life. And so I'm going to give you some things to work on this morning. I got a list of things that keep you in the rut. And when you start to see the list, you're going to think, oh my gosh, that's me. I didn't even know I was doing these things. And so if you got your outline, get your pencil ready, blow a little hot air on it so it's ready to go. All right? All right. Here is the first one, I believe. You use God to run from God. Now, I'm going to talk pretty personally this morning about some of the things that are going on in your life. Now, some of these you might have them figured out, and that's fine, but some you're not. They're going to open your mind up this morning and think, wow. And so here, I'm going to explain each one of these this morning to you. So here's some examples to help you understand. So you'll get examples for each one of what that might look like in my life. You use God to run from God. And so here's an example. You do God's work to satisfy yourself, not God. Because it makes you feel better. Because I helped my neighbor who needed some help. We use God in the wrong ways. Here's another one. You apply biblical truths selectively to your life. Oh, I can do that one. I enjoy that one's okay. But this one over here that's going to change the way I live, I don't want to mess with that one. I'll just leave that one alone. And, you know, God's grace and love, that'll cover that over there. And I'll continue to avoid that one. Here's another one for you. You use biblical truth to devalue others. To point out their faults. Maybe even to lift your spiritual life up. Well, I'm better than that person. Look how they're living. And the things that they're doing. Right? You use God to run from God. Second, you ignore anger. You ignore sadness and you ignore fear that's in your life. And you know what? We all have it. If you come to me and say, well, I'm never sad or I'm never angry, Rob, or I never have fear, I know that that's a lie because we all deal with it. Things that come into our lives. And so we are not to ignore those feelings. In fact, some Christians believe that anger's even a sin. Not true. When people come to me and say, you know, I'm angry with God, you know, I'm worried about that. And here's the thing that I always tell them. It's okay to be angry at God. It's maybe even okay to be angry at others, but don't stay there. Figure out how to work through it to get through the side that you can be at peace with whatever you're dealing with. Same thing with sadness. Same thing with ignoring your fears. It's okay to be angry from time to time. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to have fear in your life. Those are normal parts of being a Christian and walking on this earth. And so be open to share those things when you go through those things. And here's the third one on the list, on the bottom. Dying to the wrong things. This one kind of hit home for me. Some of us have this theology that says this. The more miserable you are, the more you suffer, the more God loves you. That is so unbiblical. There's some churches that even maybe preach that. You know, if we suffer and we live this way, you know, God's going to love us more. God didn't call you to die to the good things in life, the joyful things in life. He called you to die to the sinful things in life. Those things that bring you joy, those things that bring you happiness, guess where they came from? He planted those in your heart that you may have happiness, that you may have joy upon this earth. Do not ignore them. Now, if they cause you to sin, they're not from God. By all means, though, we are to embrace those joyful things that come into our lives because they are godly things. Planted there from God in your heart. And a lot of us like to live in that shameful place in our life that, you know, there's no way God wants me to be happy or joyful or to sing praises when the Bible's full of it. We die to the wrong things. So here's what I want you to work on this week. Think about the things that bring you joy. And I want you to realize that God has placed them there. And your job is to nurture them and to grow them to bring your life happiness and joy. That's your job. He puts them there for you to use. Because God wants us to blossom in this life. It's His wish for you and I. Don't stay in the doldrums. Don't stay in the fog. Live in the sunshine. Is what He says to you and I. Fourth thing on the list, denying the impact of the past on the present. So what that means is that your past influences your life today. The way you think, the way you do things, all impacted by the way you grew up in your childhood home, or maybe the things you experienced in your life, they shape and mold you. Now, some of those can be good things, and some of those can be bad things. And so for this morning, I want you to focus on what are those bad things that have shaped me, that have influenced me in my life. And here's what I want you to get. This is what you need to take home this morning. This is true for a lot of us. Did you know that your family of origin has more influence on you than your new life in Christ? For most Christians. Now, I didn't say that there was bad or good. There's both. But your job is to sort out the bad and get rid of it in this life. Because when that verse says that the old is gone, the new has come. See, the problem is that we hang on to the old that shaped us from our families. All that crud, that negative bad stuff that shaped you and I from our families of origin. And some of you are sitting there right now, well, my family was pretty good. I got an answer for that too in just a little bit. Just hang on. But get this. You go home and you think about, here, let me give you some more examples. This will help you jog your mind. You are more like your mother and father than you realize. You didn't want to hear that, did you? Your marriage is more like your mother and father's than you realize. You might not admit it. But how often have you caught yourself, and the older you get, you start to realize that you might speak like your mom or your dad, or you might act like your mom and your dad, and I see people going, yeah, that's you, buddy, right there. Yeah, you're just like your dad. See, that's the problem about maturity. See, we don't let Christ shape our lives in the new. We choose to live in the old. You can hang on to the good. This does not mean that you don't love your mother and father, by the way. Don't hear that, because I know that you do and they love you. But there are negative things, influences in our lives that we need to start becoming aware of, that we need to root out and get rid of to live in the sunshine, not in the fog. You sound just like your father, right? You've heard that? I've heard that. See, that's the point. And Jesus says, no, that's not how I want you to be. I want you to live for me. It's going to be new. It's going to be different. It's going to be better. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You see? That's what He says. here's the fifth one. Dividing life into secular and sacred compartments. We all do it. Sundays for church and for God. Monday through Fridays for work, and Saturdays my day of entertainment, whatever I like to do. Right? We compartmentalize. That's how we like to live life. But here's the point. If you're truly going to be mature, God touches all those areas of your life, whether it be work or play or church or going out for the night, even to the bar. Remember what I said, you get to pick and choose? Now, I didn't say there's nothing wrong with having a drink, but have you allowed God to touch all the areas of your life? Because that's when you become mature and you let God in. Now, let me give you an example here. This is kind of a humorous one. I was struggling all week, and I don't think we have anybody named Frank in our congregation, do we? Nope, good. All right, so you can use whatever name you want to. But this is how it works. This is what it might look like. So Frank comes here and he sings praises to God and he worships God and he's full of the Holy Spirit and he gets the driveway out here and somebody cuts him off and he just condemns him to hell. What are you doing? Right? How many of you been there before? Not even out the church parking lot. And you're condemning somebody to the death penalty because a guy cut you off in the parking lot or wherever it might be. See, we compartmentalize. I'm done with church now. I'm good with God for the week. I'm going to go on my way now and live my life. See, we haven't allowed God to touch those areas, and that's what we need to do in our life. So when you go to work tomorrow morning, think about compartmentalization. Have I allowed God to come into this place in my life? And do I follow him in those places? Some of you might struggle with that. Some of you, like that first question I brought up earlier, you might choose, well, I'm going to choose this one, but I'm not going to choose to do this. You don't get that then, don't you? You're not fully living out for Jesus Christ at that point in your life. Here's the next one that's on the list, number 6 on the bottom. Doing for God instead of being with God. Western culture, American culture says we got work to do. We don't have time to sit. Right? We got things that got to happen. So we have become, and I think I got it on the screen, yep. We've become human doings, not human beings. God created human beings. Humankind. He created you and I to live in relationship with him and to sit and spend time with him in our daily lives. Not only scripture and prayer, but just to be with God. Silent. Bring your problems before him. Bring your praises to him. Bring whatever you have in your life, and you can just sit and be and listen for God to speak to you and be in his presence. The problem is that we live in a culture today that we are human doings, and we don't take the time we need to be with God. That was me before we went on sabbatical last May. I was doing, and I was getting sick of doing. And then the first question he asked me when I walked into that office was, tell me about your rhythm of life. And you know that sermon. And it's online if you want to go back to August 27 or 9, whatever it is. He says, tell me about your rhythm. And I shared it with him, and he goes, you're so out of whack. And I thought, well, I figured I probably was. That's why I'm here. But I had to figure out where I was at with God again. I had to get reconnected and regrounded, and life pulls us away so subtly. It's your job, it's my job to recognize that as followers of Jesus Christ. That we stay close to God. We stay connected to Jesus Christ in our lives. And we have to be with God to make that happen. It's part of our maturity. Take the time to be with God in our lives. Number seven, spiritualizing away conflict. Christian community today believes that smoothing over the conflicts or sweeping them under the rug is the right thing to do. I got a little cartoon up there this morning, and if you can't read it, let me read it to you. So the guy's in his office, and he's sweeping everything under the rug, and the secretary comes in, and he says, "Looks like we need a bigger rug." Right? How many of us live lives like that? You see, that's not what the Bible teaches. We get this idea that if we avoid the problem, it'll go away. And by the way, Northwest Iowa Dutch people, they're the masters at this. Just thought I'd let you know. We are so good at being polished. We are so good at sweeping that problem under the rug, not to talk about it. We call that shame. Learned that back in seminary already. Dutch people are just good at it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Because the pain of unresolved conflicts, issues in relationships, whether they're in churches, our families, or our communities, they affect people in ways that God never intended them to. You can all think of those things right now as I'm blurting this out to you, what's going on in your own family or with your neighbor or at work or in the town of Inwood or whatever it might be wherever you live. You and I are to work through them. If somebody does you wrong, you go talk to them about it. You don't talk behind their back. In fact, here I have a little list of maybe the way that we would like to do things. Instead, we blame, we attack, we give the silent treatment, we avoid, we withdraw, we talk behind people's backs. See, that's not how Jesus taught us. You think you got problems? You look what Jesus had to walk through and up against. The Pharisees, the tax collectors, the sinners, people talking about him, people confronting him all the time. He lived in conflict every day of his life. And he went and had conversations with people. And he did it with love and grace, and the list goes on. Work through your conflict. Jesus taught us to be different. Maturity is hard sometimes. You know anybody that loses their cool? Lets their temper fly off the handle? Immaturity. That's what that speaks out. I've been there before. You got to learn to figure that out. Rein that in with the Holy Spirit. We better keep moving here. I got a couple more for you yet. Number eight on the bottom of the screen. Covering over your brokenness, weakness, and failures. All right? We live in the pressure of having a strong and spiritually together image. Talked about the polish. Got to have it together all the time. Let me talk to you about somebody that wrote and shared his life, all his junk, in the Bible. King David. He wrote about his problems in the Bible. Now, how many of you would like to write a book about your problems for the whole world to read? Raise your hand. See what he did? He thinks the story of Bathsheba was a good one? You think the story that when he called her husband off the battlefield and killed him, you think that was a good one? No. But you know what? He wasn't afraid to share his flaws, the hard things that he dealt with in his life. In fact, he was so about it that you needed to know about it that he wrote it in the book of Psalms. He wrote it in the Bible, those things that he deals with, that he suffered with, that were hard for him to live life. So why do you and I try to hide all our flaws. Because there's not enough polish or rubbing compound in this world to get you perfect. That's what David came from. Millions of people have read about David's flaws and David's life. And so may I give you this today. You don't have to hide everything. In fact, when you start to share those things with others, Satan loses power over him, and prayer wins out every time. So if you're dealing with stuff in your life and you're keeping it in the dark and you're hiding it away, maybe there's a reason why you can't deal with it, and Satan wants to keep you there. But if you start sharing it with a few close friends and you start praying about it, you watch what God will do with it. Great thing. Number 10, I'm almost done, by the way. Oh, excuse me, number 9, living without limits. Now, the world will tell you that it's okay and you want to live without limits, but when you do, it's crazy town, right? You and I are human. We're not God. We can't fix everybody. We can't heal everybody. We can't take care of everybody's needs. And I'm talking about your spiritual life here now, about your neighbors and your friends and all that. Some of us carry this big burden that we got to change the world and everybody's life. Did you know that Jesus didn't heal everybody? Did you know that Jesus didn't feed everybody? So you and I need to learn from that. We just take what God puts in front of us from day to day, and we live there and we be at peace with that. Don't take on the burdens of the world. They're way too big. God will take care of those. 10th, judging other spiritual journeys. This is the last one I want to share with you. Don't have the mindset that you have much to give and little to receive from others. Be humble. Know that you're a sinner. Know that you're not perfect. Know that you don't have it all together. And you know what? The best part of that is, that's totally okay. Because that's where God wants you to live. Don't let it become us versus them. Don't have an attitude of, I don't really care anymore. Because we're all children of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's a whole lot of grace that covers all of this. Now, I gave you a big list today. And I told you that there's going to be some heavy Sundays. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your list home this week. And I want you to start finding yourself in that list. And I don't want you to make all those changes all at once, because you'll be talking to me by Tuesday morning. All right? Because it's not easy. I'm still working on my list. And I've been into this for like 5 months already. But there's things that I've noticed in my life that I needed to change and I need to work on. That if I'm going to continue to mature as a Christian, and if I truly want to live like Jesus says in Matthew 11 verse 30, where my yoke is easy and my burden is light, those are the things that I have to do. And it's okay to release yourself from some of that stuff you're holding on to. God will be there. And all of his people said, Amen. Amen.